News Services Division of Akashwani presents Northeast Diary.
Good evening. Welcome to this edition of Northeast Diary. As we explore the northeastern part of India, it becomes intriguing to know about it in each episode. Let me share the excitement in store for you. Today, we bring you an exclusive peek into the heart of Assam, the land of blue hills and red rivers. Known for its lush landscapes and vibrant cultures, Assam is a melting pot of history and diversity. Our special correspondent, Regina S. Nair, shares her captivating experiences from the stunning northeastern gem. Additionally, we will take a closer look at the Green Meghalaya Plus scheme and offer you a sneak peek into the Kameng Culture and Heritage Museum in Arunachal Pradesh. But for now, let's head to Nagaland, which is gearing up for its annual Hornbill Festival 2024 at the Naga Heritage Village in Kisama. The Hornbill Festival is one of India's most vibrant cultural festivals. Celebrated grandly for 10 days, it has earned the nickname Festival of Festivals. This year marks the Silver Jubilee celebration beginning on December 1st, 2024. The Nagaland government has also partnered with Wales as one of the country partners for the upcoming Hornbill Festival. Here is more from our Koima correspondent, Asunu.
Hectic preparations are going on for the state of Nagaland to host one of the country's biggest festivals, the Hornbill Festival. Preparations for the festival are being overseen by the ministerial-level committee headed by the Chief Minister of Nagaland. To enhance the festival experience, revamping of infrastructure at the Naga Heritage Village are taking place, while mass social work initiatives are planned for the last week of October and the third week of November. Clean and beautify areas from Dimapur to Kisama. Commissioner and Secretary, Tourism Department, Government of Nagaland, Dr. G. Hukuga Sema said,
"Being the 20th edition Silver Jubilee, we like to take tourists as our honored guests. So on that manner, we have to make our best efforts to make our place comfortable, enjoyable. And in this regard, we have started with a master plan for Kisama Naga Heritage Village, renovation and revamping of all the structures and many other areas. And in the next coming years, from next year onwards, Kisama Village will be open 24/7. So tribal halls and morals will be very much instrumental in making it a success."
Meanwhile, Chief Minister Nipi Rio has announced the signing of an agreement making Wales one of the country partners of the 25th edition of the Hornbill Festival. Mr. Rio signed the agreement during an official visit to Wales earlier on the first week of October. The visit was also the first for a Chief Minister from India to visit Wales officially. The Hornbill Festival began in 2000 as a modest three-day event in Kohima. The festival has since evolved into a major tourism event for Nagaland, now spanning 10 days. In these 10 days, visitors get to experience tribal living, food, traditional games, music and dance, and the best of the local handicrafts and textile. The festival is not only popular in India, but also on an international level as well. Every year, visitors from all over the world visit Nagaland to be a part of this cultural celebration. For Northeast Diary, this is Asunu from Akashwani News, Kohima.
In the heart of India's capital, New Delhi, Nagaland's rich culture and vibrant traditions are about to steal the spotlight. Joining hands with the Union Ministry of Tourism, Nagaland Tourism is all set to present the third edition of the Autumn Festival at Nagaland House on October 19th and 20th, 2024. The Autumn Festival, a prelude to the 25th edition of the Hornbill Festival, promises to bring the essence of the popular Hornbill Festival to the people of the capital. The festival will showcase a captivating blend of Nagaland's diverse cultural heritage. It will be a window into the state's unique customs, art, music and culinary delights, offering a taste of Nagaland's charm to Dalits and visitors alike. Srimati Liza Pilla, Senior Public Relations Officer of Nagaland Tourism, tells us more about this festival.
the Department of Tourism, Government of Nagaland, supported by the Ministry of Tourism, Government of India, is having the Autumn Festival, which is a prelude to the 25th edition of the Hornbill Festival on the 18th, 19th and 20th October, that is this weekend. Day 1 is by invitation only, and the next 2 days, that is the 19th and 20th, is open to all. What we have in store at the festival is music, food, crafts, textiles and fashion. We also have an artisan's corner where we have weavers and craftsmen to give a live demo of our Naga weaves and handicrafts. So we invite you all to come and enjoy and have an immersive experience with us this weekend.
In a recent address, Vice President Sri Jagdeep Dhankar emphasized the Northeast's crucial role in India's development during the foundation stone laying ceremony for the Meghalaya Skill and Innovation Hub. He highlighted the importance of youth in this journey and announced a major investment in skill development. So, here is a report for you all.
In a significant address on October 16, 2024, Vice President Sri Jagdeep Dhankar emphasized the critical role of the Northeast in India's development. Speaking at the foundation stone laying ceremony for the Meghalaya Skill and Innovation Hub in Shillong, he stated the Northeast is on the radar of the nation's development, underscoring its contributions to unity, economic progress and cultural richness. Sri Dhankar praised the government's Look East and Act East policies, which have led to remarkable improvements in communication, connectivity and airport infrastructure in the region. He also raised concerns about the spread of misinformation on public platforms, urging a commitment to factual discourse. Highlighting the importance of youth, the Vice President called them vital stakeholders in India's journey towards becoming a developed nation by 2047. He described skill development as essential, noting that it involves optimizing individual talents rather than merely discovering new skills. The Vice President also announced the establishment of a dedicated Ministry of Skill Development and Entrepreneurship with a significant investment of 60,000 crores aimed at internships for 5 lakh young people over 5 years. He stressed the need for skill centers in villages and semi-urban areas. Reflecting on his experience in Meghalaya, he described it as heavenly and expressed confidence that tourism could be a key driver of the state's economy, calling for the full harnessing of its natural resources and talent. The event was attended by dignitaries including Meghalaya's governor, chief minister and other prominent officials, marking a pivotal moment for skill development in the region. This is Abhishek Mukhopadhyay reporting for Northeast Diary from the News Services Division of Akashvani.
The much anticipated Kameng Culture and Heritage Museum in Nukmadang under the Dirang subdivision of Arunachal Pradesh, West Kibang district, is ready to open its doors for everyone. Here is a report from our Itanagar correspondent Rakesh Dole.
The Kameng Culture and Heritage Museum in West Kameng district is conceptualized by the Indian Army as a part of the Operation Sadbhavna, synergized with the Vibrant Village program of Government of India and the local community. It stands proudly as a testament of the rich and diverse cultural legacy of Arunachal Pradesh. The museum will be inaugurated by Arunachal Pradesh Chief Minister Pema Khandu on October 23 this month in presence of Union Minister of State for Rural Development Kamalesh Paswan and General Officer Commanding Gajraj Corps Lieutenant General Gambhir Singh. Arunachal Pradesh, the land of dawn-lit mountains, has a deep-rooted connection to Indian civilization, tracing mentions in Kalika Purana and the great epic Mahabharata. It is replete with innumerable historical monuments and archaeological sites that establish its rich cultural and ancient heritage, which along with wonderful natural beauty comes together harmoniously at the Kameng Museum. The Kameng Cultural and Heritage Museum has been curated by the National Museum Institute of History of Art, Conservation and Museology along with the voluntary donation of ancestral land and 343 traditional artifacts by the local community. This effort brings together cultural and religious linkages of old communities covering all tangible historical, religious, archaeological and ethnographic aspects woven in the fabric of Arunachal Pradesh. The museum has a state-of-art movie hall showcasing rich cultural and heritage linkages of Arunachal Pradesh with Bharatvarsh. A cafeteria and a children's park has also been constructed for tourists. The Kameng Cultural and Heritage Museum will inspire visitors from across the globe, fostering a deeper understanding and appreciation of Arunachal Pradesh culture and heritage. It will serve as a cultural beacon of peace, security and commitment to nation building through community integration. For Northeast Diary, this is Rakesh Tole, Akashwani News, Itanagar.
Northeast Diary program, broadcast every Thursday at 5:30 p.m., brings very interesting and enchanting stories from the 8 Indian states of Northeast India. Don't forget to tune in.
In a significant move for environmental conservation, Meghalaya's Chief Minister, Conrad K. Sangma, has launched the Green Meghalaya Plus scheme, aiming to conserve an additional 50,000 hectares. This initiative promotes sustainable development while supporting small land owners. Here is the report.
In a powerful initiative to strengthen environmental conservation, Meghalaya's Chief Minister Conrad K. Sangma has unveiled the Green Meghalaya Plus scheme. This program aims to incentivize communities and individuals to protect forest cover, promoting sustainable development across the state. This initiative, part of the state's Payment for Ecosystem Services program, offers financial incentives of up to 20,000 rupees per hectare annually to communities and individuals committed to conserving forest cover. The Green Meghalaya Plus scheme aims to enhance forest conservation by rewarding those who protect natural forest for a minimum of 30 years. This latest phase will expand conservation efforts by an additional 50,000 hectares, about 500 square kilometers. Notably, the new guidelines have lowered the participation requirement from 2 hectares to just 1, allowing more small landowners and communities to get involved. Since its inception, over 3,000 individuals and communities have benefited, conserving more than 54,000 hectares of natural forest. During the launch, Chief Minister Sangma highlighted the government's commitment to balancing economic growth with environmental responsibility. He noted that over the past 7 years, the government has laid a strong foundation for development, leveraging various funding sources for the state's growth.
We spend hundreds of crores for afforestation program, for planting the trees again. And we waste a lot of time, many, many years, for the plant to again grow. So if you calculate the time that it takes for the plant or the tree to grow, and the money that we spend in afforestation programs, and the destruction that we have done for the environment, it makes complete sense for us to support the local people, the custodians of the land and the forest, to give them financial support to protect these forests so that we don't lose that time. And that's as simple as that. That's really what Green Meghalaya is. And if you were to calculate the cost of money that we're putting in, we put in about 40 crores last year, or last in the first phase. The amount of loss, if we were to calculate, if those 54,000 hectares had been destroyed, would have been 100 times more. 100 times more. So it is beneficial for the people and for society and the world that PES programs should be taken up at a national and international scale. It is the need of the hour. Let us protect the forest before it is destroyed, not rebuild it after it is destroyed.
Sangma emphasized the importance of community involvement in conservation efforts, stating, "We must work in harmony to balance nature and development." He mentioned that the government has invested over 44 crore rupees in forest conservation in the past 2 years, with plans to allocate over 200 crore rupees moving forward.
We are very keen to go into the Green Meghalaya Plus, which is the next stage of this very, very important program. And as you are aware, we have made this program simpler, and we have made this program better. Simpler, because earlier we required minimum of 2 hectares. Now it is brought down to minimum 1 hectare. So even 1 hectare will be allowed to utilize. Number two, most important, the benefit, the maximum, which is, because it all depends on your area, the forest, the type of forest. So the maximum amount in the first phase was 15,000, but in the second phase, the maximum amount has been raised up to 20,000. So if you fulfill the criteria, now you get per hectare 20,000. And I think the most important part which is there is that earlier we had tied the utility or utilization of the money to certain activities. But now we have untied it, which means you can use the money for whatever you want to use it. So we will not force you that you have to go a border, a boundary, a fencing, or you have to plant this, plant that, no. Certain simple guidelines are there, but we are not going to now tie it down to activities. It is your money, you will utilize it in the best way that you can. So this is a very, very important aspect of Green Meghalaya Plus, and we are hoping that we'll be able to touch the 50,000 plus now hectares, which we are targeting, and soon we will be able to cross 1 lakh hectares of protected forest in our state.
This initiative not only supports forest enrichment, but also engages communities in the vital task of protecting their natural resources. This is Abhishek Mukhopadhyay with Lamphrang Nongspang, reporting for Northeast Diary from Akashvani News, Shillong.
Today we journey through the enchanting land of Assam, often referred to as the land of blue hills and red rivers. This vibrant region, serving as the gateway to Northeast India, stands as a sentinel of diverse cultures and spiritual legacies. Assam's landscape is a tapestry of lush greenery, rolling hills, and the majestic Brahmaputra and Barak rivers. Here, centuries of history have woven a rich cultural fabric, home to myriad races, tribes, and ethnic groups, each contributing to the state's unique identity. At the heart of Assam's spiritual legacy lies the revered Kamakhya Temple, a significant pilgrimage site known for its deep-rooted tantric traditions. Nearby, the Navagraha Temple beckons with its celestial connections, while Haju stands as a testament to communal harmony. Further enriching Assam's narrative are the historical towns of Digboi, famous for its oil heritage, and Tezpur, known for its romantic tales and archaeological wonders. And of course, Dispur, the state capital, symbolizes the modern spirit of Assam. Friends, join our special correspondent, Regina S. Nair, as she shares her travel tales and personal experiences, unveiling the magic of Assam and its profound spiritual heritage.
Assam is the gateway to the seven sister states of the east and lies beneath the foothills of the eastern Himalayas. The ancient state, over 2,500 years old, was once called Kamrupa, a land where, according to Hindu mythology, the god of love, Kamdeva, was born. The Brahmaputra River flows right through its middle and has been nourishing its residents for centuries.
Jaya Jaya He Mahishasura Mardini.
Assam is also known for tantrism and magic. Located on the Nilanchal Hill at 800 feet above sea level in Guwahati is the 2,200-year-old revered Kamakhya Devi Temple. It is one of the most visited temples of the Northeast dedicated to the goddess Kamakhya, a manifestation of goddess Shakti, who is said to possess many magical and tantric powers. We drove up to the temple 8 kilometers from Guwahati along beautiful winding roads early morning. The view of the city below and the flowing river from the temple was a sight to behold. According to legend, after Sati set herself on fire, Lord Vishnu, the protector, cut up her dead body into 51 pieces and flung them across India, making the places where they fell holy. Kamakhya is the spot where goddess Sati's womb and genitalia fell. We were quite taken aback by the various sacrifices and rituals being performed at the temple to please the goddess. To get to the inner sanctum, we climbed down dark and narrow, steep stone steps and then reached the end of the sacred crypt. The temple attracts a huge number of pilgrims, priests, tantric worshippers and hordes of devotees waiting to catch a glimpse of her. Our next stop was the Navagraha Temple, built in the late 18th century in Guwahati, an important astrological and astronomical center of the state, dedicated to the worship of the 9 planets of the solar system. The temple, also known as the abode of the sun god, has 9 Shivalingams, representing the 9 celestial bodies, with the sun at the center. These are arranged in the shape of a celestial circular arch. When we reached the temple, we were surrounded by a number of astrologers and priests making quick bucks using birth charts and predictions. It's no wonder then that this region is often called the Eastern City of Astrology. Since we were spending the day visiting places in and around Guwahati, we decided to stop by Dispur, a locality of Guwahati that became the capital of Assam in 1973. Former capital Shillong was then made capital of the bordering state of Meghalaya, which was carved out of Assam. Though the seat of the government of Assam sits in Dispur, it is more known for the Guwahati Tea Auction Center, established in 1970, located here, which auctions the largest volume of CTC tea in the world. CTC here meaning the process, crush, tea and curl by which the tea is made. The center has high international standards, is modern and well equipped to handle such tea auctions. We followed this up with a visit to Hajo, located on the banks of the Brahmaputra, about 25 kilometers from Guwahati. The beauty of Hajo is that it is an ancient pilgrimage center. The sacred places considered most pious in Hajo are the Hayagriva Madhava temple for the Buddhists and the Kedareshwara and Madan Kamdev temples for the Hindus. After we had paid our obeisance to the gods and goddesses of the state, we decided to head out to get some breathtaking views of the only hill station in Assam, Haflong, or the Switzerland of the East. Also known as a white ant hillock, Haflong, about 300 kilometers from Guwahati, greeted us with the beautiful view of the Haflong Lake. It is one of the largest natural water bodies in Assam, surrounded with green rolling hills and valleys, streams and waterfalls, and its aromatic pineapple and orange trees. It's a popular destination for nature lovers, and one can also do trekking and paragliding. We just spent the day absorbing the fresh air and stunning views and eating pineapples. A few minutes away is Jatinga, known as the Valley of Death for birds, because of the strange phenomenon of its mass bird suicides. The story goes that every year during moonless nights between 6 to 7 p.m., most migratory birds attempt suicide by diving into the ground. Various theories during the rounds suggest that this could be due to the birds being attracted to the village lights or a magnetic field unseen by the human eye. After feasting on a traditional meal of fish, duck and rice, we decided to head back to our hotel and rest well before the last leg of our journey to Digboi and Tezpur begins. We decided to have a heavy breakfast and head out early to Tezpur, about 190 kilometers from Guwahati. Also known as the cultural capital of Assam, Tezpur is visually stunning, with views of the snow-clad Himalayas and a plethora of tea gardens. Being one of Assam's oldest inhabited cities, it has ruins dating back to the 4th century. We visited the doorframe of Da Parbatia, the oldest specimen of sculptural art in Assam. We also visited the Agnigarh Hill, the site of the romance between Princess Usha and the daughter of King Bana and Aniruddha. King Bana kept Usha on this hill, surrounded by fire. We had a spectacular view of the Brahmaputra River from the hill and the 3,000-meter-long Kalia-Bhomora Bridge that connects the Sonitpur and Nagaon districts. The next day was dedicated to visiting the Nameri National Park, about 35 kilometers north, and the Orang National Park, about 40 kilometers west of Tezpur. Both these sanctuaries have a variety of rare flora and fauna. The Nameri National Park has a large elephant population, and one can also spot the tiger, sambar, leopard and deer. We spent a relaxed day at the park, river rafting and swimming. The Orang National Park is also called a mini Kaziranga, and one can spot the one-horned rhino here, as well as a variety of other migratory birds and animals. Our last stop for this leg of the journey was Digboi, or the oil city of Assam, located in the Tinsukia district, about 290 kilometers from Tezpur. Digboi is known for having Asia's first oil refinery, or the oldest working oil well in Asia. The refinery is the second in the world. It's a pretty place surrounded by tea gardens and blue hills. We visited the Digboi Centenary Museum and learnt that oil drilling first started in Digboi in 1901. The place got its name from the Britishers who used to tell the labourers to dig, boy dig, when they were looking for crude oil.
This program was presented and produced by Vinita Thakur with assistance from Kumar Gaurav. It was brought to you by the News Services Division of Akashwani.